Right, dear Lord, thank you for this opportunity to share your word, and I thank you that we're all here. Please, Lord, I pray that as I empty myself of everything that is of me, you will fill me with your words, and only what you want to be spoken will be spoken, and that you will sanctify these words, and you will help us to retain everything that Paul has written. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So, I've been asked to speak on Colossians 4, verse 2 to 6. And it's going to be a little bit disjointed because I'll be jumping from verses 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 to wherever. I would like to read the passage in two different versions. I've got the NIV, which says, "Devote yourselves to prayer. Be watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversations be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." It sounds pretty simple, but it's a bit tricky. Devoting ourselves to prayer is really, when you look at it, what it's all about. Prayer being direct communication with God, the one who brought us here, and the only way we can have a relationship with him. We have done one of the easiest bit of our relationship with God by singing and worshiping. It's truly, honestly, brothers and sisters, the easiest. The difficult ones are prayer and sitting, standing in right in his path to do what he expects of us. Devoting ourselves to prayer is what will make us achieve what God has put us here for, because we can only hear him when we pray to him. And prayer is not just talking nonstop. Prayer is also when we sit and we listen and we're aware, being aware of our Lord Jesus Christ, being aware of God and placing ourselves in his presence is prayer. Prayer is how we behave towards people, how we behave towards each other, how thankful we are. Everything about our lives should be one long prayer. He goes on to say that being watchful and thankful, that brings us back to prayer. Because being watchful, being mindful of where we are, is to be in constant communication with God. It doesn't mean that we're talking and praying, you know, sort of blabbing away as we're driving our cars, but it's just being mindful of him and what he's doing in our lives. And being thankful to God is opens doors. Being thankful to God is acknowledging that in the middle of the storm, he's still doing something in our lives. And a lot of the time, we don't do that because we come tunnel visioned and our pain and our crisis is what we see. And we can only be able to do what we're here to do by, again, being in his firing line, just being there and just knowing that, yeah, we're here, you're there. We go on to say, and as Paul was speaking, I mean, Paul, some of us think Paul was a very strict, a bit rigid. But I believe that his desire for everybody to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to be matured in Christ was his driving force. That is why he seemed so heavy, perhaps, a bit heavy-handed. But, you know, he just was so desperate for everyone to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to know his saving grace and to grow. And he just was reminding us that, you know, knowing our Lord Jesus Christ as Savior was wonderful, but it's also our responsibility to make him known to the rest of the world. And how are we going to do that? How do we introduce the rest of the world to the Lord Jesus Christ? We can't do it in our own power. We can't do it by reading the Bible back to front, you know, sort of know every passage in the Bible. We can't do that. We can do it by actually going back to him, talking to him, knowing his heart, and being sensitive to the Spirit. And how do we become sensitive to the Spirit? It goes back to prayer. And that is why the Lord Jesus said many times, watch and pray. And when you go back to the Old Testament, I think, where's the vicar? Is it Deuteronomy 8? When he said to the Israelites that, now that you have, I've led you out of bondage and you have found land and you have got a lot of cattle and you've widened your tent and you've got cattle and you've got grazing ground, make sure you do not forget the Lord your God who brought you out of bondage. That goes back to prayer. Because when we forget him, we don't chat with him. When we're not grateful for what he's doing in our lives, we don't chat to him. We don't pray. And prayer becomes people, it's not that every morning wake up, thank you Lord Jesus that we're alive, and then going to bed and maybe saying grace. And it doesn't have to be a long drawn conversation. It can be all day if you have the time. It can also, like Nehemiah, when the king called him and his heart was really heavy and wanted to build the wall, of Jerusalem, that one. He was serving the king, and the king said, "You look heavy-hearted. What is it?" He couldn't jolly well say to the king that, "Wait a minute, I'm going to go next door. I'm going to pray and then come back." He sought God's face in the twinkle of an eye, and he was open. And God laid the word in his heart, gave him utterance. Those utterances didn't come from that's a king asking you, what do you want? What is it? Why are you unhappy? He prayed. He sought God's face. It was there, dear Lord, what should I say? And in that minute, God gave him utterance and made the king receptive to what Nehemiah said. And he granted him his wish. When we pray, he hears and he answers. When we go beyond praying for just personal things, we see bigger things. As you can see, as it was it Paul said, pray for us too that God may open a door of our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I'm in chains. He didn't ask for the prison door to be opened so that he would be released. This is opportunity. Every opportunity we get to share the word of God. And you do that prayerfully. It's all about Jesus. And whatever the circumstances, it's that desire that Paul had for everybody to know the saving grace. He would like us to have that. And that's what the Lord Jesus wants us to do. And that is why he called his disciples to be fishers of men. And fishing for these men could be in prison. It could be in school, at the school gate. This is being aware where we are, being wise. And, you know, we have so many opportunities to share the Lord Jesus with people. And a lot of the time, because we're not aware and we're not praying, not being overzealous and being over the top, just being praying, having an open heart with the Lord, we miss it. On the bus, that person sitting there crying by themselves on the bus, do we stop? That's a prayer. Stopping, are you all right? He might tell you to go jump, or he might say no. Sorry, it's a bit... Being a clear witness... We can only be clear witnesses for our Lord Jesus Christ when we're open. And that comes with humility. talking tonight, I don't feel like I'm preaching, or I don't want to preach. I do not want to do the talk. I want to learn with you, because as I was reading this, I learned so much, and I just want to learn with you. I'm just throwing these words, and if any of you think you want to say something, please do, because I was so humbled by this, and today I had to take myself or to read it again, and when I read it in the message, I was so humbled, and I thought, how many times do I not stay alert? The first three verses I've read, I'm going to read in the message. It says, pray diligently, stay alert, with your eyes wide open in gratitude. Don't forget to pray for us, that God will open doors for telling the mysteries of Christ, even when I'm locked in jail. Pray that every time I open my mouth, I'll be able to make Christ plain as day to them. How do we do that? How are we clear witnesses? How do we behave towards outsiders? That annoying child in the classroom, that gossip in that staff room, that nasty boss that we don't think we can ever love. All these people who are like oysters, what is it? The sand in the oyster that rubs us up really badly. How do we relate to them? Preachers stand on pulpits. Vicars stand in pulpits. You know, ours stand on stage. And evangelists stand on stage, and they speak the word of God, and some of them shout, some of them don't, and they do their bit. Our preaching is from our everyday life, the people we meet. We preach the Lord Jesus every day, wherever we go. Our sermon should be Christ-centered. And our Christ-centered sermon is our character. Do people meet the Lord Jesus when they see us? Do they say, oh, I knew it, not because we took our St. Mark's mug to work or whatever, but would they know that we belong to the Lord Jesus, that we're followers of Christ? Would they? Let's ponder on that for a moment. So we can talk the religious talk. We can even talk Lord Jesus. We can talk spirit-filled talk. But we walk it. I find myself challenged daily. This weekend has been pretty tricky with my children. One of them was particularly difficult, and I was not very Christ-like sometimes, and I'll be in middle sin. I was thinking, stop, what example are you being? And then I was sort of, But, really, I was grateful that there was this almost schizophrenic conversation going. It means the Holy Spirit hadn't died. I hadn't been totally, my conscience wasn't bent out, that I was not aware that so I was grateful for that, but that's not enough. I really want to walk the talk. I just want so desperately, more than anything, to not just stand here and say this, but be like that, not just at work where everybody thinks, oh, Dad is really kind, she's really sweet, and then become a tyrant at home. I don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. So, the prayer is, Lord, can you let our two selves, not to be out of sync, to be our lives in front of you and our church and our school, should glorify your name. And then, the last but one is our behavior towards outsiders. Not the ones we work with, but the ones in the shop and the people we pass by, like the Good Samaritan. How often do we not pass people who look totally broken? I learned recently, especially since Christopher died, I've become more aware of broken people. And it's almost like I've got this antenna that I can tell when someone is grieving, and God has given me this courage to speak to people, and I say, are you all right? And I find strangers telling me about their grief, and I share mine. That's a positive thing that has come out of mine. The amount of time before then that I thought, well, this person looks sad, and walk past and not do anything. Will the Lord Jesus Christ walk past a broken person? We are in the world, but we do not belong to the world. It may not be cool. They'll think, oh gosh, you know, don't do it. Do it. Please do it. Let's stop. Let's start looking outside ourselves. We can't be too private. We are followers of Christ. We cannot be too private. You know, it's their private grief. It's their private worry. We are supposed to support each other. Romans 12 says, let us support each other with, let's help each other with our burdens. That's how we do it. Going on to the next bit, which is, let our speech build people up. Will somebody please read, what was it again? I've got two scriptures which I'd like to be read. You've got them. Both. They'll work together, yeah. So if you can read yours, and I'll build the two together. Sorry, this is a dirty thing. It's not very systematic.
Okay, this reading's from Ephesians 4, verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen.
Thank you.
This one's 2 Timothy 2:23 to 26, and it says, don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Those who oppose him, he must gently instruct, in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will.
Thank you. So these two verses, please, when you have a moment, go and read it again and read in different versions and understand it. The last verse 6 says, let your conversations be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. And the message says, use your head as you live and work amongst outsiders. Don't miss a trick. Make the most of your opportunity. Be gracious. Be gracious with your speech. The goal is to bring out the best in others in conversation. Not put them down. Not cut them out. Ignoring someone is as hurtful as cutting them, you know, putting them down. When you work in a school, we keep telling children, include them, because not including them makes them feel bad. Ignoring is as bad as being verbally aggressive to people. Our speech must be like salt, to season the person. Salt is not just a seasoning, it actually preserves people. What we say can go a long, long way. I have a few young ladies who say things I had said, which I don't even remember. So I'm learning very hard to be careful about what I say. Our language, the things we say, yes, again, we live in the world, but we should, with the same mouth, with the same springs, bring out bitter water and sweet water. That's in James somewhere. Let's be careful how we speak. Let's be careful what we find funny. I was telling the girls the other day, seeing all these naked women on television will become okay for you. You become desensitized so that you may think it's okay for people to walk around like that. It's not. What we see, what we hear, does a lot to our personalities. Let's watch what we say to people. Let's be kind. It's cool to be kind. Let's listen, even to the most irritating person. Let's listen. Let's say kind words to each other. Let's build people up. There's so many broken, hurting people who may just say something stupid without thinking. Not because they mean to be hurtful, but because of their own brokenness. So instead of snapping at them, let's stop. Let's be kind to each other. Let's build each other up for this kingdom work. The other reading from Timothy 2 says, do not quarrel. Don't quarrel like fools. When people come with saying not very kind things about the Lord Jesus or want to argue about, you know, sort of intellectualize, we cannot intellectual the Lord Jesus Christ of God. We can't intellectual any of these. We can't analyze it. So instead of being drawn into arguments about the word of God and about being followers of Christ, let's pray again. We go back to prayer. A single word to the Lord Jesus, or our heart will cry out to him and he will give us utterance, wisdom, to know how to speak to these people. And maybe, can you please read that bit again? And maybe, you read Philippians, 2 Timothy 2, 28. Maybe, by our gentleness, by being gentle and being understanding and being kind, might just turn them around. And sorry, this is a dead away. We got it. 2 Timothy 2, 23 to the end again. Please listen to this.
Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know that they produce quarrels, and the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Those who oppose him, he must gently instruct, in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will.
Thank you. So, dear Lord, thank you very much for today. Thank you for your word. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you would teach us to pray. You would teach us to remain in your sight. You would teach us to open our hearts to you at all times, that even when we are not consciously praying, we'll know that the Spirit in us will be groaning and praying and calling you, Abba, Father, on our behalf. And we pray that we will be salt of the earth, that our lights will shine wherever we go, not because we are so wonderful, but because we are your messengers. We bless you, dear Lord. Amen.